This is Stephen Strang, and this is a tribute to my cousin, James Jaquith Thayer, who recently went to heaven. I knew him as Jimmy, and we were both grandchildren of John and Agnes Strang, our grandparents who farmed outside of Tustin, Michigan. We have very wonderful memories of spending time together as cousins up at the farm. I was the oldest of eight grandchildren. Jimmy was the youngest. There were 7 years between us. Our birthdays are both in January. He had just turned 61 last January. He had a lot of medical issues and decided that he was not willing to stay on what was basically life support. I respected his decision, and after he told us what he had done and that he only had a couple weeks to live, I called him and had a final interview with him. I wanted to just recount some of the things about his life. And so what follows is my final interview with my cousin, Jimmy Thayer, who I remember fondly. He had a great sense of humor. People liked him. He was a lot of fun as a kid. In addition to spending time at the farm, we probably spent more time in Chicago, because we would always stop in Chicago whenever we'd go up to the farm. And his dad, Uncle Don, was always great at taking us to the Museum of Science and Industry and taking us on the L in Chicago, which when you lived in Iowa, as we did when I was a kid, that was a big deal. And going to amusement parks and Grant Park down by the lake. And we just had a great time when we would go there. And of course, I loved Uncle Don and Aunt Ruth, who is my dad's sister, and Jimmy's older brother, John David, and his sister, Beth Ann. And they both predeceased him. He was the last member of his family to be alive. And I loved the Thayers. And so this is my tribute to my cousin, Jimmy. Hello, I'm Steve Strang, and today I'm talking to my cousin, Jimmy Thayer. And we're just going to talk about our family and the farm where our grandparents were. So, Jimmy, how are you today?
I'm doing good today.
Well, good. Well, I always thought you had a very interesting name. Your full name is James Jaquith Thayer. And I've always known you as Jimmy, but I guess you also go by Jim, but I always thought that was a very interesting name. Your mother tended to come up with interesting names. How did she come up with Jaquith?
My grandfather was on the Thayer side, was a Methodist minister, but he was also ordained through the Light Bearers Chaplaincy, and he had a best friend who was a pastor of a Methodist church, whose last name was Jaquith, and they didn't have any children. So my understanding, they gave me his last name as a middle name.
I see. Well, it just sounds good together, James Jaquith. It sounds very dignified, in my opinion. And that actually makes me think of a similar story with our cousin Chuck, whose name is John Charles Strang. There are a lot of John Strangs, but he goes by Chuck by his middle name. But if I remember correctly, they had a close friend who died in the Korean War whose name was Chuck. And so they decided, you know, even though that's not his first name, to call our cousin that as well. So you mentioned the Thayers. I remember as a kid hearing that you guys had like this book that had like all the Thayers going back to like Plymouth Rock or something. So do you remember that book, or is my memory dimming?
Yeah, the book is somewhere in the Thayer archives down in Marysville. I'm part of a Thayer Family Association. And when I joined, I found out that there were only three people in the history of the Thayers, it stems back to 1640, their surname was Jaquith. The other two were women. One was born in the 1700s. One was born in the 1800s, but I'm the only male with the surname of Jaquith. And they found that kind of interesting also.
That was, and Thayer, of course, I've known the name all my life. I mean, when I was a baby, your mom and dad drove down to Springfield, Missouri. I guess I was the first grandchild. And then later, when my brother Paul was born in 1954, they came down, and your older brother Ray was with him. He was 16, as I recall, but he was old enough to drive, and he had to babysit me and my sister Karen while the grown-ups were down at the hospital. And this was the days before they let kids go in the hospital, and I remember somehow they smuggled us in to see my mom and my little brother Paul. But I remember that your brother Ray would buy us Cokes, and they were 10 cents back then, if you can believe that. And we thought that was a big deal. We thought he was great. You know, I mean, here we were little kids. I would have been 3 years old at the time. Karen would have been two. And I have very clear recollection of him and your whole family. But Thayer's not a name that you hear too often, but there was a drugstore here in Orlando. You may remember it. It was called Thayer's Drugstore. It seems that you and I stopped in there one day. The drugstore is still there, but the Thayer's must have sold it because it has some other name now. And so there's a book about your family, and of course you're familiar with the book I wrote called How We Fit In, and there's quite a bit about your especially your mom, because of course she was a Strang. She was Ruth Strang, and there's some pictures of her in it. And recently I found a picture. I think your sister Beth gave it to me. It was when you guys were, you looked like maybe you were 7 years old in the picture, and your mom and dad and must have been taken at Aunt Joyce and Uncle Don's house, because there were some houses in the background. And I know it wasn't Chicago where you guys lived, because I remembered your house very, very well. In fact, how good my memory is. 1962 Winona. Was that it?
Yeah, that was our address.
And we would go and see you guys just about every year. The only kind of vacations our family took back then were going to see relatives. And we lived in Iowa, and we lived in Missouri and then later Iowa. And we had to go through Chicago to get up to Michigan to the farm. And your dad would always, he would take us to like, well, he would take us on the L. That was like a big deal when you were from Iowa, and the subway. And he would take us to the top of the Sears Tower. I don't even remember when they built it, but I think it may have been the biggest or the tallest building in North America at the time. And then there was some amusement park. Maybe you could remember the name of it. It had a bunch of roller coasters. Do you remember that?
Well, that was Riverview.
Riverview. And you guys lived in that house, and you know, we'd always stay with you. And it seemed to me that your grandpa Thayer was still alive back then. He would have been in a rest home. And I think maybe your parents bought the house from him. And the house was built like in the early 1900s, wasn't it? It was a nice two-story house. And the houses, there were three in a row. And there was like a fairly narrow driveway around to the back. And there was like a garage back there. And, you know, it was quite nice. In fact, that whole area is kind of gentrified and is kind of upscale now, isn't it?
Yeah, it was built and opened for sale in September of 1902. And when my mother had sold it, it was sold on September 11th of 2002, making it all three homes over 100 years old, which means the original houses in the middle could not be touched, but the add-ons in the front and the back could be changed, which kind of made the buyer a little, they wanted to tear it down, put a three flat in, but the alderman said they couldn't do that.
Yeah, because it was historic. But, you know, your sister Beth told me about it when I visited her out in California one time. She said they, like, put a big rubber band around it, left the exterior the same, and almost gutted the inside and added a basement. I guess there was a basement, but it was probably fairly low ceiling. And they actually went in and dug it down several more feet and made kind of an entrance to the outside. And I actually drove by it one time when I was in Chicago just to see what it looked like. And it had been fixed up, but, you know, it looked like it did when you were a kid. So let's talk a little bit about your family. Of course, you had your Grandpa Thayer. Your Grandma Thayer must have been gone by then. I don't have any recollection of her.
She died in 1959 that I knew of.
Okay, well, we would have been coming to your house before then. So I was the first grandchild, and you were probably the last grandchild, weren't you?
Yes.
So yeah. There was
I'm
me.
The youngest.
There was me, and then there was my, then there was our cousin Vicky Strang. Now her name is Chapin. And then John David, your brother, probably would have come next. Or did maybe my sister Karen came next? Probably Karen came next. Why, when was John David born?
September 4th, 1953.
All right. Well, Karen is 6 months older than he is. So Karen would have been next, and then John David, and then probably Chuck, our cousin, was born along that same time. I may have the order out. Chuck Strang, and then Beth was born, Beth Ann, and my brother Paul was born in 54, so he was probably older than Beth, is that right?
Yes.
All right, well, I should have figured this out before we started talking, but, you know, we're just visiting about the old days, and your dad, I remember that your dad had a real heart to help the down-and-outers on Skid Row. I'd never heard of Skid Row. But, of course, there's a part of Chicago called Skid Row, and he used to go down and minister, as I recall. Seems to me there was, like, maybe a radio program or something. I think my dad would go down sometime. They took us down there a couple of times, but I think just to show us around. Do you remember anything about that and your dad?
Oh, yeah. My dad had about six different missions that he would go and preach during the week. And when he got off his regular job working for Montgomery Wards. And
I remember he worked for Montgomery Wards, and the big competitor was Sears. And
yeah.
It was so sad when Montgomery Wards closed down. This would have been years and years later. And now Sears is in the process of closing down. So, boy, the retail landscape has changed a lot, even in our own lifetime.
Yeah.
And I remember your family went to I used to call it Swedish Covenant. It was a church, and you guys were in that same church for years and years. And was it Ravenswood?
Ravenswood Evangelical Covenant Church.
Okay, so they changed the name from Swedish Covenant to Evangelical Covenant. And your mom and my dad, of course, were part Swedish because our grandpa, or actually their grandpa, let's see, how did this work? Yeah, their grandpa Anderson was full-blooded Swede. And I remember that my dad was raised a Swedish Baptist, and they've also changed their name, I think, to American Baptist now. You know, of course, this was years ago, but there's a Swedish community in Chicago, because I remember your mother was in a rest home there. What did they call that community?
They just made it the Covenant Home.
Yeah, but there was a community around there. Was it called Swedentown or something?
Yeah, there was a Swedish community, Andersonville.
Oh, is that what they called it?
There was an Andersonville, which was a lot of Swedes around there. And then just west of where she grew, where she was living before she passed, it was the North Park North Park College area, and there were a lot of Swedes in that area too.
Right. Yeah, your mom was a a great woman. I remember her well. She had a great singing voice, and she was always, I always considered her a very dignified woman, and she lived in that, I'm going to call it a rest home. Was it rest home, or was it maybe assisted living?
It was like an assisted living place.
Yeah. And I, when I was up in Chicago on business, I would try to visit her, and I took her, I remember I took her out to dinner a couple of times, you know, just to give her a change of pace, and we'd visit. And I recorded her talking about the old days, kind of like you and I are. And someday I'll find that recording, but it's in a box somewhere. I didn't do a very good job of saving it. But she talked about her grandparents and her the old farm and her family and her kids. And, of course, at the time, John David and Beth were both still living. Your father passed away. Do you remember the year your dad passed away?
1983.
Well, he was still, I remember, let's see, you would have probably left home by then, but when I was a young adult, I went to a convention in Chicago, and I actually stayed at your parents' house. I think they had me sleep on the sofa or something. I must have been too chintzy to buy a hotel room, but your dad was still alive, and it was probably not long after that that he went to heaven. He was a good man. You know, I have very good memories of him. And then John David came and visited me and Joy in Orlando a time or two. He was with some buddy and they were down in Tampa and they came over and visited us. And then I remember that you came and visited us one time. Do you remember that?
Yeah, 1994. It was for the first night launch of the space shuttle.
Was it?
Was down there.
Well, I can remember where we lived. Let's see. We lived there from 81 until about 86. And so it would have been in that time frame, because I remember very specifically you coming to that house. And then we built a new house that you never saw, and Chandler, our youngest son, was actually born after we moved into that new house, and he was born in 87. So you're very good with dates. I've always known that about you. You've been good with dates. You just rattle off these dates. But let's talk about your siblings for a minute. John David, something happened, and he became very seriously ill. What was it that happened?
He had an aneurysm that had broke. He was taken into a hospital in downtown Chicago, and by the time they got in to do surgery, they had realized it had broken open. We almost lost him then. They clipped it and sewed it up, and then they had to put a some kind of a stent line through from his brain down through his lungs into his stomach to bring down the swelling in his brain.
Oh, wow.
And he never recovered fully from that.
Well, I visited him once or twice in fact, I took your mother over there and we had dinner, you know, in their kind of their cafeteria. And when did he die, and what did he die of?
He caught a cold and that flourished into the pneumonia. He was taken into Swedish Covenant Hospital, and he died on D-Day 2007 at 4 o'clock in the afternoon.
Wow. You have a very good memory, and that was just, it was so tragic. And then your sister, who lived out in California, in fact, you kind of moved out there because your sister and her husband and some of your Thayer relatives were out there in Northern California. Is that right?
Yeah. When my mother passed.
And when was that?
When she passed away in 2010. And then my brother Don, he passed 17 days later after her. The family wanted me out here in California. So I obliged and moved out.
And lived there and lived there ever since. And I had to speak at a conference out in California, and let's see, where was it? It was right outside San Jose, as I recall, and Karen lives down in Paso Robles, and Beth lived up there at in Redding somewhere, and she drove down, and Karen drove up, and they came to the conference, but we were able to be together a couple of days and have some meals, and I can remember that I got up early to work out in their little in the gym they had there at the Hilton Hotel where we stayed, and there was Beth up early. I was so proud of her, and we actually exercised a little bit together. It was kind of fun, and we had such a good time, and she had a whole bunch of pictures, and she brought them, including the picture I sent you, you know, the one with your family, and I took pictures of them on my cell phone so that I had a copy of them, and I actually put a couple of them in the book. You know that I wrote this book called How We Fit In. And in fact, let me make a commercial for it. I don't know how many people are going to listen to this, but you can go on Amazon and look for Steve Strang, and it's the story, How We Fit In. I really wrote it for my two sons about their four grandparents. Of course, Joy's two parents, the Farrells, and my mom and dad. And there's a whole section in there about the Strangs. Not a whole lot about the Thayers, obviously, because that's not our lineage, but... I think I was maybe inspired by that book that I, when I was a kid, that I heard about the Thayers. So anyway, getting back, you know, we were talking a little bit about Chicago. Seems to me that there was a school nearby. You used to go over and play on the playground. And it was near Foster and, help me out, was it Grant?
Foster and Damon Avenues.
Foster and Damon, yeah.
Yeah, we had a high school. And on the backside of the high school is a grammar school, a stadium. But it was a big, huge park. You know, and you could go over there and play and had good times in that park.
Yeah. When we visited the Thayers, we went around doing some of the things I described earlier, but we'd go over there and play. What memories do you have of living there, growing up in Chicago? I remember the Thayers were so proud of Chicago and your baseball teams and the Museum of Science and Industry down by the lake. We'd visit that, and you guys were just like Chicagoans through and through.
Yeah, we went down. My dad's favorite museum was a museum of not natural history. It was another museum by the University of Chicago, and he used to take me down there, and we'd walk through there quite often. And then we would once in a while we would get to the Museum of Science and Industry, where we'd go to the Shedd Aquarium and walk around, see all the different types of fish.
Yeah, you know, I remember that, too. I remember the Museum of Science and Industry because they, you know, this would have been like the 50s or maybe the early 60s. We probably went there several times, and they had a telephone where you could see the picture, like on a little TV set or something, and they supposedly had like a model of it. It was nothing like what we have today, and it was hard for us to even envision that. And of course now with cell phones and everything else, it's amazing all the technology that's happened. But tell me some more memories of your mom and your dad and Beth Ann and John David growing up there on Winona.
What I like best were the trips up to Grandma and Grandpa's farm. We would leave early in the morning, pack up, and we always, when we got off of, we'd be on the two-lane 131, we'd stop in I think it was called Rome, Michigan. There was a trout farm we would stop at. And that way, Dad could get a rest. And us kids could go out and, for a nickel, we get a big handful of trout food and we'd feed the trout.
Oh, that was fun.
Yeah, and we found out years later that my mother, when Grandpa was dying. My dad had to preach that night. So Beth and my dad were going to come up later. On the way up, John and I and my mom were in the car. We stopped there. We found that there was, on the other side of the railroad tracks, you had to go upstairs and go across these tracks. There were five other vats full of fish, and they were bigger fish.
How about that?
The one year I remember best, I think I was probably about 8 years old, where all the families had gathered up at the farm because Grandpa had to get the hay in. And he had everybody on that big, huge wagon. Your family, Chuck's Uncle Don's family, and everybody was up there, but I was too small to go. So even Aunt Joyce went. They all went out, and they were putting hay on the wagon.
Oh, I remember that. Those were good memories of being on the farm. In fact, I think by the time what you're describing, they had gotten rid of their dairy cattle. I think he wasn't really farming the land anymore. He was probably retired by then. And but he would sell the hay, you know, for extra money. And I remember, you know, they were not wealthy people at all. And when they died, of course, they left no inheritance. But, you know, they did the best they could. And I remember he made enough money that he gave each of his three children $300. And as a kid, to me, that was a lot of money. And I guess he did it, you know, I guess just to bless them. I don't know. But I remember going up to the farm. We'd go up at Christmas. It was snow. We were up there in hunting season. Of course, we weren't hunters, but Uncle Don was. And we'd stay in the big old two-story house that had a potbelly stove downstairs, which was kind of the only heat in the house. And there was a grate up to the bedrooms, and they, you know, the heat rises. And we kids would sit up there and listen to the grown-ups. You know, they'd make us go to bed, and we'd sit up there and listen to them. They were, you know, just gossiping about things that parents, you know, talk about. And I also remember, you're too young to remember this, but they had no indoor plumbing until, let's see, would have been around 1960, and they had like an extra room kind of on the back of the house, and they, you know, they put in a modern bathroom, but they had an outhouse, and we kids hated it having to use the outhouse. But I mean, that's just kind of how primitive things were, and I think they probably only had telephones, you know, probably not long before I was born. I was born in 1951. When were you born, by the way?
1958.
What day?
January 2nd.
Okay, so our birthdays are very close. So we're almost exactly 7 years apart. And do you remember the old farmhouse? Do you remember Grandma would always cook? She made molasses cookies. I remember her molasses cookies.
And they were big ones.
They were. They were huge. And she was a good cook, and, you know, of course, you know, everyone would gather around the table. Grandpa had a TV, and the screen was about the size of a dinner plate. You know, this would have been the 1950s, and I remember Grandpa was a chain smoker. A lot more people smoked back then. And, you know, he'd been basically a farmer all his life, although during the Depression, I think he went and worked in a factory where his brother was actually the foreman. I mean, just to hold body and soul together. And so what I'm telling you the stuff I remember about Grandpa and Grandma. What do you remember?
Well, I remember that when you guys were out there putting hay on that wagon, I didn't have anything to do. So I went snooping around the house, and there was a these two, I think they were like storm doors on the back side of where that just off of the back porch. And I opened one up and I went down in it. It was a big room. It was filthy and had garbage in it. But I found there was a small passage that went right into Grandma's underneath the kitchen, right into her pantry, which none of us kids were allowed to go into.
Well, of course.
So I found a broom and I cleaned up that room and threw all the garbage out and swept everything out. And I was getting ready to leave. I was pulling down the thing when I heard a light come on, and Grandma come down and put a half a jar of pickles on one of the shelves. And she left. So I opened up the thing, went over there, grabbed that jar of pickles, and I got caught eating that jar of pickles behind the barn.
Wow. So did you get a spanking for it?
No, she said, "Where'd you find that?" It says, "Through those doors over there." She went down in them doors, and she screams. She goes, "Holy cow!" or something like that. And my mother came down, because my mother and your mother were there. And they came down and they looked. It was clean. She came up and says, "Take that last pickle out and hand me that jar."
So that was your payment. How about that?
That was my payment. She says, "I've been trying to get Grandpa to clean this thing out for 5 years.
Do you remember?
But when you're done, you're getting a bath."
So do you remember the old barn down underneath the barn? It was kind of like ground level on one side, and I guess it was on kind of a hill. On the other side was where they kept the cows. I remember the milking machines, and Grandpa would have to go out there early in the morning, late at night, and milk the cows, and they'd put the milk in a big, you know, metal holder of some kind. I guess somebody came by and picked it up, you know, and took it to wherever they make milk. It seemed to me they had maybe 8 or 10 cows, and I think they would have had some other farm animals. But by the time we came along, you know, they were pretty much retired. They were born, as I recall, in 92 and 94. And so how old would they have been, you know, by like 62? They would have been 70 years old. Grandpa died 2 weeks before his 80th birthday. His birthday was August 19th. I know that because that's the day that Joy and I got married. And I actually think of Grandpa on August 19th when our anniversary rolls around. And, you know, they were good people. Grandma was a good Christian. She had that Sunday school that met in the one-room schoolhouse. I think that one-room schoolhouse is still there. It wasn't used as a school. I think that she taught there before she got married.
Yeah. I think she was a teacher there, too.
Mm-hmm. She went to Normal School. That's the old-fashioned term for a teacher school. It's called a normal school. And that is now a major state university. It's like Ferris State University. They're not too far south of Cadillac. And she was the most educated one in the family. I think Grandpa didn't make it but about eighth grade, which, you know, when he was coming along, that what education was, you know, that important, especially if you're on the farm. And then, of course, World War I came along, and I don't know if he was drafted or enlisted, but he ended up in France. He was an ambulance driver in the war. And also, you might be interested to know, I found letters that he wrote when he was in the Army. He was stationed in Chattanooga, Tennessee, and he'd never been to the South. And, you know, he's kind of homesick, and these are letters he wrote home. It was just interesting. Insight into life. In fact, in someday I may donate him to a museum or something, because, you know, some historians would find interesting, that type of thing. And then, of course, he came back, and they got married in 1920. And so it would, next year would have been 100 years, and your mom came along in
21.
She was born in 21?
Yeah.
Oh, that's right. Right at the end of the year, wasn't she?
Yep.
And then my dad came along in 25, but she was 3 years, 3 months, and 3 days older than my dad. She used to say that. And I just thought that was kind of interesting. And she was always the bigger sister. And then 6 years later, I think Uncle Don came along. And my dad served in World War II. They called it the New Hebrides. Now it's called Xanatu. And he was kind of like an airplane mechanic or something like that. But, you know, he really found the Lord. Even though he was raised in a Baptist Sunday school, I think that he says that he really came to the Lord, or really maybe understood what his faith was, when he was in World War II, and then went to Bible school, met my mom, and kind of the rest is history. And Uncle Don went to work for the railroad, and Grandma had a younger brother named Uncle George, and he was in the railroad and apparently was very successful, and Uncle Don kind of followed his lead. And your mom, as I recall, always wanted to get off the farm. And she wanted to live in a big city. And she did. She moved to Chicago. I'm not sure what she did, but was she a secretary back then or something like that?
She moved. She went to Ferris State when it was a two-year school.
Okay.
And her and the girlfriend moved down to Chicago. Lived in an apartment on the south side, and we're working for International Harvester.
Okay, that's a big company.
And they lived there. They worked for about 10 years, and then when, as the south side diversified, they moved to the north side.
Okay.
And still working for International Harvester.
So my dad got out of college in 1943, so she would have gotten out of college in about 1940. And so those 10 years during the war years and after the war, she would have worked there. And then she met your dad. She wasn't old, but she was a little bit older when she got married. She must have been close to 30, or do you remember?
I don't remember. She was singing in a choir at a Methodist church. And my dad did, they served meals in the basement. And my dad was doing dishes down there. And that's how they met.
Oh, my. I never heard that story.
And they started dating together. And one thing became another. They got married in 1952.
And then the three kids, John David, Beth Ann, and you came along. And now they're all gone. Your mom and dad, of course, died a number of years ago. John died early, and Beth tragically died the same week that Trump was elected, because I talked to her on election night. I talked to her, and she used to follow me on Facebook, and I was putting pictures on Facebook because I was at the inauguration party, and she was sending them around, and I was just shocked. I think she must have gone to the hospital the next day, and she didn't last long in the hospital. It was just so tragic because she was such a wonderful person.
Yeah, at least, and I was at Vibra. I was at Vibra, recovering from cellulitis. No, but at least she got to see the Cubs win the World Series.
I remember you guys were great Cubs fans, and so she died happy. And of course,
she died happy. Yeah,
and she was a wonderful Christian lady. She really, really loved the Lord. And your whole family were good Christians and so faithful in that church. We used to go, when we'd stay with you guys, we'd go to Sunday school. And you know, nowadays when people go on vacation, or maybe when relatives are in town, they'll skip church. And I thought, man, when we were in town, we'd always go to church with whoever we were staying with on vacation all the time. But I just have such good memories of that. And We've been talking for over half an hour. It seems to go so fast. Is there anything else about the farm or Chicago or growing up that you want to talk about?
No, that's about it.
Well, you know, everybody, I've asked this question, you know, I'm a journalist, and I remember one time I interviewed John Ashcroft, who was then the governor of Missouri, and later on he was attorney general in Washington, and in between he was a U.S. senator. And I remember very clearly asking him, how do you want to be remembered? And so I'm going to pose that to you, Jimmy. How does James Jaquith Thayer, my cousin Jimmy, how do you want to be remembered?
I want to be remembered by pretty much my past, not the present. Things have happened in the present that have caused some friction in my family. And I don't let that to go on with my family members. I'd like to be remembered more as the fun-loving James of my past and the love I showed to my family before all the things that are going on right now have happened.
Well, I remember as you being fun-loving, you laughed a lot. Family is very important to you. You've kept up with the family mostly on Facebook. You contact me with regularity. Now, I tried to keep up with you. I visited you a number of times, you know, over the years. And of course, you came down to Florida at least that one time and maybe twice. And also, I remember that your parents always sent a very nice Christmas card. It almost had like the plan of salvation in it. It was almost like a little book, like maybe 8 pages or something. And Beth and you continued that family tradition. I always thought that was so nice. And in fact, your Christmas card would come early. It came before all the other Christmas cards. So that must have been important to you. Why did you continue that tradition?
I've been doing that tradition for probably 20 years. I would make up all my Christmas cards, and I would send them out probably the Monday or Tuesday before Thanksgiving. That way they would be the first ones out there.
Yep.
After Thanksgiving.
That's what I remember. And I know, Jimmy, that you love the Lord. Why don't you just give me a brief testimony of your relationship with Jesus Christ?
I came to know Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior while I was doing an 8.5 month stint. I had done something wrong. I had to go to Cook County Jail for it. And that's where I really came to know the Lord Jesus as my Lord and Savior. And when I got out, I declared I would never go back into that place again. And I have never done that. And I just kept Jesus in my heart all these years and tried to show it at work, at church, and at home. And throughout my whole life, I believe that I have him. He's still in my heart to this day. And pretty soon, I'm going to go home to be with him.
And that's a wonderful legacy, and you know that's what we can all strive for. And you know the Bible says that life is but a vapor. And from our human perspective, I remember hearing this about a teenager who died, and of course everybody was so sad, you know, that his life had been cut short. And the minister said at his funeral, "Life is but a vapor. If you're 18 or if you're 80, it's still a vapor." It seems longer to us because we're looking at it from our human perspective. And I remember you probably saw the same plaque. There was a plaque in my home growing up. It was part of a famous poem by a famous missionary named Studd. His first name is leaving me right now, but it was Only one life will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. And, you know, I believe that's true, and I know you believe that.
I do.
Well, I want to thank you for taking time to talk to me today. You know, we were able to reminisce about our grandparents. You never did say anything about Paul or Karen, my brother and sister. You didn't say anything about Vicky and Chuck. Is anything come to mind that you want to say about your memories about them before we wrap up?
I enjoyed when I was traveling with Car Rental to stop in Lexington or in Montgomery area and play golf with your brother.
Oh, he loves golf.
A couple of times, and I miss those days. And I just visited with your sister this weekend, and we spent a couple of days together, and I really enjoyed that too. And I don't remember the last time I seen Chuck or Vicky, but it's been a long time.
But I've kept up with them on Facebook, and Vicky's very good about keeping up with people. And I know she kept up with Beth, but then, of course, Beth was good at keeping up with people. So even though they grew up in Grand Rapids, you grew up in Chicago, we grew up in Missouri, Iowa, and Florida, we've all gone separate directions as adults. There was a bond with our family and with the Strangs, and we have a good heritage. All of us have a good heritage. And thank you again. And I just pray God's richest blessings on you, my dear cousin, Jimmy.
Thank you.